This morning's scripture reading will be read from the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. That will be the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. And it read, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."
Such excellent reading. As I was pondering the book of Revelation this week, receiving great encouragement from it, couldn't help but to think about that very last chapter of such a victorious book. As a matter of fact, this book, when it was written, given to the angel to express to John, that John made express to the seven churches of Asia Minor, we win. And it doesn't matter what goes on in the life of the seven churches of Asia Minor, if they was just to hold on and hold fast, and hang in there, they're victorious. When we think about this year has been a year of topsy-turvy, ups and downs. Many of us have learned great lessons this year, all because of the suffering that took place this year. And because of this year, many have a new profound respect, not just for life, but for the God of heaven. As I was considering and pondering some thoughts for this morning, I thought about how many of us have prevailed over sickness, over ridicule, over trials, over trouble. This particular year has been saturated with disrespect, dishonor, delusion, division. You name it, it has been saturated with it. It's been a tough year for many. Many have lost their lives. Many have lost family. Many have lost their businesses. Many have lost their minds. However, it has been a good year because some have gained perspective. Some realize that the promise of eternal life is right there. Some have realized that the Lord's church is such a valuable entity. And some have realized that truly spirituality and eternal life is what life is all about. This morning, I want us to talk about we actually win in the end. And we need to know these words because, again, the world that we live in is saturated with lies, saturated with sexual immorality, cruelty, fraud, and the list could go on as was stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. In some states, some of our brethren have suffered from the hands of governmental overreach, such as California and New York. I have friends in California, and they talk about that. They talk about what they have to do in order to worship God, and my heart hurts for them. Yet, as the Bible demonstrates to us in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 9, that our brethren are going through the same things in the other parts of the world. Some countries, Christians are being thrown into concentration camps. For example, China. You look it up. Christians are being thrown into concentration camps as we speak for naming the name of Christ. In some locales, being honest and upright are forbidden and could result in a loss of business, a loss of life, a loss of free speech. The council culture has gone crazy upon us. Our brethren in the first century struggled with much worse than what we struggle with even today. Yet some would say we have nothing to complain about, and that's true. However, when we think about the book of Revelation, 200 Old Testament references in 22 chapters, a book of principles, a book that will help in any time frame. This is why we shouldn't be so caught up in the date of the book, but in the principles that this book teaches us. We understand fully that our brethren went through great things. However, they were being encouraged by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Master, Jesus the Christ, as he is talking to these seven churches of Asia Minor, giving them words of exhortation, words of encouragement, words that will enhance their spirituality, that they indeed can overcome and will overcome. And to those who do overcome, God will bless them to no end. As I was considering some of the words of this great book and learned some things from our God in this particular study, Revelation 22 is just filled with encouragement. I hope, pray, and trust that the things that we speak on this morning, that when we reflect on Revelation 22, what was read by our dear brother, that you'll understand why he closed out this great book the way that he did. Such encouraging words that we find in this great book of big victory. When you think about this great book, the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, the Word of God, here John would have something to say that's worthy of our encouragement, acceptation. In Revelation 1, in verses 5 and 6, we understand that they had to have a mindset in order to be victorious. And just like us today, what did they and what should we do in order to win in the end? This is a fixed fight. The God of heaven has given us great words through his son Jesus Christ as he talks through the angels. As John is writing these great words to the seven churches of Asia Minor, can you imagine receiving these words from John as you're going through severe persecution, heartache, trial, trouble, tribulation? Friends, I can't help but to think about the encouragement that was mustering up within them in order to help them fight the good fight and lay hold on eternal life. In Revelation 1, in verse 5 and 6, we see how much God loves us. We see how much Jesus Christ thought of us. In Revelation 1, starting at verse number 5, notice what the Bible here has to say. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us. Friends, did you see that? To him who loved us and loosed us, literally, he washed us. The idea of wash there is the idea of cleansing, the idea of loosing us from our sins in his own blood. Can you imagine how God loosed the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? He washed them with the baptism of Moses, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Jesus loved us enough to die on the cross, being stabbed in the side, John 19 and verse number 34. Forthwith came blood and water. He loved us enough to wash us from our sins in his own blood, not in the blood of bulls and goats, as our dear brother said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, friends. And let me make a time out. Brother Raphael, great points. I don't think in all of my years of study that I've put it together like that. I praise God for you and for the Word of God. Here we see something very interesting, that because Jesus loved us, what did he do? He made us a kingdom and priesthood. He made us kings and priests. Friends, can you imagine hearing these words? As you're reading these words today, can you imagine what God did for us through the blood of Jesus Christ? He has made us a kingdom and he's made us a priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. You know what he implies in these passages? That in order for one to be washed, one has to be baptized by the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verses 11 through 13. Hebrews 9 verse 14. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Friends, over and over and over again, we see these words of exhortation through the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18, John had nothing to be afraid of. And let me say this, we have nothing to be afraid of in Christ Jesus. Nothing whatsoever. Here, as John, he looks at Jesus being depicted, this signification, if you will. And as I was thinking about this and looking at the description that the Lord was given to John of himself, he says something very powerful. When John saw it, he fell on the ground as one is dead. And Jesus says to him, "Do not be afraid." Friends, those are the words of God even today in 2020. The last Sunday in the year, don't be afraid. Why? I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. I have the keys. Friends, why shouldn't we be afraid? Why shouldn't we be overly concerned? It's because the one who came and died and went back to glory, he has the keys. He has the keys to Hades and death. Nothing can harm us. No wonder Jesus would tell his disciples in Matthew 10 and verse number 28, "Fear not him who can kill the body, but can kill
and cannot kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, when we stop and we consider what the children of God was about to go through here, Jesus has given them these words of encouragement that they can hang in there and hold on and hold tight. Why? Because I have the keys of Hades and death. And then in Revelation 2 in verse number 2, as he talks to the church at Ephesus, it's interesting that he says these words here, friends, because the church at Ephesus was doing very well. However, he had one thing against them. But I don't want to talk about what he had against them right now. I want to talk about what they did, what was right, what was well. In verse number 2, notice what the Bible says. I know your works, your labor, and your patience, meaning your endurance, the way that you hold yourself up under the immense pressure of life. He says, and that cannot, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Friends, did you hear that? The church at Ephesus had a lot of good things going on. And even though they had left their first love, even though they had left that love that they had for the Lord, God wanted them to rekindle that love. The more I think about this, I think about how much God loves us by giving us his word, by giving us the encouragement that we need. And those whom he loves, he chastens. He's disciplining them right now. He's telling them what they needed to do in order to be right with him. He says, you got this right, but now work on this. And it's all right when someone chastens us. It's all right when we're corrected. Here we understand this very powerful point. But if you look at the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2 in verse number 10, here they had the synagogue of Satan in the midst of them. Can you imagine what they was going through? Here, you got the assembly of Satan, those who had their minds and their thoughts and their will on the works of Satan. They were in the midst of the church at Smyrna. And here, Jesus has something to say to them that is encouraging. He says, do not fear, verse number 10, any of those things which you are about to suffer. They haven't even gone through it yet. They were about to go through it. And he says, don't fear. You'll be all right. Here, we understand in 2020, we need the same message going in 2021. Here, he tells them, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. You're about to go through some hard things. You're going to be cast into prison, but be thou faithful. Be tough. How long? Till death. The church at Pergamos. When we think about the church at Pergamos and also the church at Thyatira, they were dealing with some of the same things. They had individuals in the church that were luring them into sexual immorality, causing them to bow down to foreign gods, idolatry. And he told them to overcome, that if you overcome, I'll reward you. You do your part and I'll do my part. And it's still the same today. Every congregation is told to overcome. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that encouraging that every single congregation, all seven churches of Asia, was told and encouraged and exhorted to overcome? And you flip that word around, to come over, to come over. You're going to be all right. Can you imagine having that? It's like a good coach. And here you're on a team and maybe you're down by five and your coach is telling you, only thing I need y'all to do is work together and we can overcome this deficit. We can win this game. And they believed those words, and there were those who did believe. And friends, just like today, there'll be some of us who will believe. And verse number 2 of Revelation 3, notice what the Bible here says. He tells them, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Watch. Be careful. Look out for what's going on. Friends, we're talking about winning in the end. In order for the seven churches of Asia Minor to win in the end, they had to do those things that the Lord outlined for them to do in order to receive the victory. And it's the same for us. Just like the church at Philadelphia. In Revelation 3 and verse number 10, the Lord commands them to persevere. Don't let go of what you have. Don't let it go. Friends, I have to say this, and I know the elders will agree that this congregation has not let go. We haven't let go. And we're going to continue to hold fast. We're going to continue to hold on. Why? Because there is something waiting for us. There's a new heavens and a new earth. There's something waiting for us. In verse number 11, he says, behold, chapter 3, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold fast. Hold on. It'll be all right. And friends, I know it'll be all right. Over and over, the Lord was loving them enough to correct their wrong and to encourage them in the right. For this reason, friends, it caused me to think about the Lord's Supper and the responsibility that we have when we are remembering the Lord's death till he returns. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32, we think about the responsibility we have and how much God loves us that he gives us an opportunity every first day of the week to do something magnificent, to do something mighty, to do something powerful, and that is judge ourselves every Lord's day. Just as the Lord, through the angel, through John, was writing to the churches of Asia Minor, giving them something to think about in order to judge themselves, God has given us his word and given us an opportunity as we assemble ourselves on the first day of the week. Notice what the Bible says in verse 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. What was God doing through Jesus, doing through the angels, doing through John to write to the seven churches of Asia Minor? He didn't want them to be condemned with the world that was around them. And no wonder when we think about coming together on the first day of the week, it's so important for us to be remembering the Lord and looking at our own personal life. Why? Because we're looking down the corridors of time because we already win, but we don't want to forfeit. We don't want to put ourselves in a position that we forfeit our own spirituality. Oh, yes, we can fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse number 4. We don't want to. But if one is not looking at their own personal life, and no wonder the churches of Asia Minor was receiving this encouragement in order for them to look at their personal lives and make the adjustments and be right with God. As John in Revelation 4, verses 1 through 4, is able to peer into the throne room, he's able to see some things that are so powerful. Brother Johnny Ramsey, some of y'all who are younger in the faith may not know him. He has died and gone on to his reward, Lord willing. But he said something so powerful as he has this video called Journeying Through the Bible. It's about 4.5 hours long, worth every minute. Look at it. But I found it very interesting. He said something very powerful concerning the background of this book and how the Roman government wouldn't allow the children of God, the Christian, to approach them, yet the Christian can always approach God in prayer. They can enter into the most holy place. They can go to God personally, and even though they may not be able to personally go to the king, they can go to the King of Kings. Friends, we have access like no other. We can go to the God of heaven and we can offer our prayers unto God. And in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 8, look at chapter 8. God is looking forward to us coming to him in prayer. God is looking forward to us coming to him in supplication. In Revelation 8, starting at verse number 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now notice this, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Friends, when our prayers approach God, it's like a sweet aroma. Brother Royce, the Christians could not approach the King of Rome, but they could approach God. Isn't that a beautiful blessing? Friends, we win in the end because we have access. We have full access to deity. We have full access to God. We may not change our world through policies and politics, but we can change our world through prayer and godly living and loving one another. Friends, it's such a blessing to be able to approach God and for these individuals to receive this encouragement in this great book of victory. Let us never forget that we can go to God through Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's our mediator. He's our high priest. He's the one that shed his blood for us. Heaven awaits to hear from us. The question is, will we go to heaven and pray? In Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, we have this great scene. It's a wonderful scene. Unfortunately, it took the death of these people, of these Christians, in order for this to be a wonderful scene. And sometimes, before the beauty can truly be seen, death must occur. You remember in the days of Isaiah chapter 6, when King Uzziah died, then Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Just like this, we see something when he opened the fifth seal, verse 9. He says, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why were they slain? For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Friends, why did they die? Because of the word of God. Because of the testimony in which they held. They were willing to die for the cause. Notice, the cause of Christ. That's the key. I tell you, the more that I was looking at this and pondering and meditating over the week, the more I had to keep asking myself, Mike, how far are you willing to go? Mike, how far are you willing to go? Sometimes, Brother Payton, I got to talk myself into it. You know, we have to talk ourselves into it. No wonder he writes these powerful words to encourage them, to help them. In Revelation 7, verses 1 through 8, I find it very interesting that you have those 12 tribes of Israel and 12,000 that are sealed from every tribe. And here you got 144,000, which is a figure which demonstrates that the faithful from every single tribe of Israel are already sealed up. They're already saved. They're already awaiting the judgment, if you will. But then there's a number that cannot be numbered. Why? Because that number is still being tabulated. That's the Christian dispensation. That's the area, the life, the dispensation that we live in now. There are some who are still waiting to obey the gospel. No wonder the book hasn't been sealed up yet. No wonder when we think about these individuals in Revelation 7 have already won. They're already won. They're already victorious. In chapter 11, verses 15, another great point here that Brother Ramsey brings out. And the reason why I keep bringing his name up, because I've been listening to him and thinking about some of the things that he has been saying, not just with this book, but great books of the Bible. He says something very powerful here, friends. I don't know how he got this point, but I see it now. Took me a while to ponder it. Maybe it might take you a while. Maybe you might get it right off the bat. But he says in verse number 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. When you think about what is being said here, here you have the gospel going out into the world, and the world is receiving the gospel, and God has the ability to reign over those who are in the world because they obey his son. Friends, Not only do we win, but when we go out and teach the gospel and evangelize and we are benevolent and we're edifying, they win. They win. Let me say this. Hopefully I won't say any names so I don't embarrass them. But Brother Dennis, we need a couple more boxes of Bibles because the ones that you gave us are gone. We have been asking for them Bibles to give away them Bibles. You know, we need to keep giving away Bibles to the world. Amen. The world needs Bibles. They need the Word of God. Friends, we have AP Bibles. They're great Bibles, study Bibles. Good commentary on the bottom end of the Word. Good Bibles. Pick some up. Give them away. Just give them away. That's how God is going to rule in the kingdoms of men. They got to get God's word in their heart. And we got to teach them the gospel. Because we don't want to win alone. As a matter of fact, we can't win alone. We got to take someone with us. We got to take someone with us. When we think about chapter 13, we're not going to delve into it. But here he brings up the beast. And anytime you think about a beast, friends, think about something ferocious. Think about someone who is diabolical. Think about someone who doesn't mind devouring you. Think about someone who can only care about themselves, who are willing to destroy you. Here, the Roman government was willing to destroy the people of God. And no wonder when we stop and we think about Romans 13 and how the attitude of the Christian can actually bring the attitude of the beast, the attitude of the governmental mentality down to a level of humility by doing what is right. Here we see something very, very powerful that God's people in verse 10, he says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Those who have an ear, let them hear. As we come to some type of conclusion, look at chapter 20. In chapter 20. Friends, he's given them all of this information, telling them they win. I'm telling you the same thing. It may seem a little dreary in the world that we live in. I can't really say that about San Angelo. We live in a great place. We really do. We're not experiencing many of the things that our brethren are experiencing in the East and in the West and also in the North. We're in a great spot right now. But friends, there's going to be a judgment day. And those who are faithful to God actually have the attitude, bring the judgment day on. Why? Because our garments are white. Our minds and hearts are upon the Son of God, Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. Here we see something that equalizes the playing field. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through verse 15, I wrestled with verses 4 through verse number 6 this week and still wrestling with it. I say, Mike, leave that alone until you finish wrestling with it. Wrestling with it. Got some ideas. If you have some ideas, any of y'all, send me a text, call me, help me out with that. Verses 11 through 15, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Notice what John is looking at, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Friends, did you hear that? And there was found no place for them, talking about the old heaven and the old earth. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Remember, Jesus has the keys to Hades and death. And as they were judged, each one according to his works, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we have this judgment scene. We got the small and great there. And we know that the ones that are faithful to God are going to make it through the judgment. Those who are not faithful to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, for we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer to things that we have done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Friends, because this day is coming, we're persuading men because we're already victorious. And just as those who are going to be suffering through this hardship of the emperor worship, the Roman governmental overreach, that as long as they stayed faithful, they didn't have to worry about this day. They would hear the words of Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things that make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Friends, those are the words that we want to hear. Why? Because we're victorious. We have to think that way. It's not being arrogant. It's not being pompous. It's not being high-minded. Friends, it's being confident that God will keep his promise, that he will definitely come through for us. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, no more chronos, no more time. Brother Royce, as I was thinking about this and really, really thinking about it, no more T-I-M-E. Do we understand the effects of T-I-M-E? For many, time is not on their side. For all of us, time causes us to grow old and the body begins to break down, Ecclesiastes 12. Time sometimes puts us in a crunch when it comes to taking care of business. But one day there'll be no more time, no more sun and moon and stars, which gives us time. Gone. No more time. We're always trying to rush to get here and rush to do this and make this deadline and get that done, and that's okay. But one day, all of that's going to be gone. So that caused me to think, what should I do in time that I may enjoy the timeless? What must I do? Friends, I must be faithful. God has to trust me. God has to trust me that when I make a mistake, I confess and repent. God has to trust me that when the opportunity comes for me to share the gospel, that I do all that I can in preparation to help people see the truth of the gospel. God must trust me enough that when I need to deal with sin, even in my own personal life, that I'll have the gumption, I'll have the courage, I'll have the guts, I'll have the fortitude to actually say, I choose Jesus over my own. Amen. God has to trust me in that. I got to do that within time, because once I die, I'm in a timeless zone. There's no mercy outside of time. All of the mercy is within the time frame. And so here he says, now I saw. Look what John is privileged to see. New heaven, new earth, literally one of a different kind. Not refurbished, not renewed. This is one of a different kind. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, watch this, friends. The tabernacle of God is with men. Where God dwells. Friends, heaven is going to be a place where God dwells. And we're going to be in that place. And everyone who is faithful Everyone who is trustworthy is going to be with God. And so it doesn't matter what we're going through right now. It doesn't matter what this body is dealing with right now. It doesn't matter the persecution that the churches of Asia was going through and what we go through right now. The only thing we care about is dwelling with God. That's all we care about. I had an older sister send me a text this morning. It was so encouraging. And I said, all of my decisions in life are on the foundation of Matthew 25:21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. We win, friends. We actually win. The focal point in verse number 4 demonstrates that we win. God shall wipe away every tear. The idea there seems to be, and I could be wrong, but it seems to be that when they get there, they're weeping, and God says, no, no crying here. No crying here. At least the Greek brings that out. God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Friends, we win. Drop down to verse number 8 and notice the winning continues. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We don't have to worry about those attitudes and mentalities and practices where we're going. They lose, we win. Because if we're honest, sometimes we can think about doing some of these things ourselves. In heaven, there will be no allurements to draw us away from God. In heaven, we don't have to worry about someone saying, come over here and let's go honor this God. In heaven, we don't have to worry about being cowards. In heaven, we don't have to worry about the sexually immoral, those who are desiring to come up with their own way and own lifestyles. No, not in heaven. Why? Because they're going to take part in the second death. And we don't say that with a smile. That hurts. Because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then that new Jerusalem he talks about. Friends, did you hear Revelation 22 being read? I have no intentions on touching one verse in Revelation 22. Because Revelation 22 speaks for itself. If we stop and we think about Revelation 22, you got to go through those 21 verses. Friends, the Lord is coming quickly. At least that's John's words. Lord Jesus, come quickly. And then Jesus said, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. Can you imagine hearing those words as one that is going through trials, struggles, and troubles? The Lord says he's coming quickly. I believe him. Friends, he is. We just don't know when. We have to be ready when he comes. 2020 should have prepared us to go into 2021 saying, I'm going to stay ready. And I'm going to be looking to the clouds, anticipating the return of my Lord, because he's coming. And oh, we can't wait for him to come. Friends, he's coming on the clouds. And he's coming back for the church of Christ. He's coming back for the kingdom of God. He's coming. Only thing we have to do, this is it, be faithful. Now that's packed. It's jam-packed. It's plero, it's full to the full. I know that. But that's all you got to do is be faithful. But Brother Mike, that's a lot in there. I didn't make it up. Jesus said, be thou faithful. That's all. Which means that we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to put into practice what we have studied. We got to be humble, friends. Got to be humble. Got to be humble. God resisted the proud, but give it more grace to the humble. Got to be humble. Got to be willing to say, I'm sorry. It's okay to say, I'm sorry. Got to be willing to go out and teach and preach the gospel to those who are lost. We have to. If 2020 didn't demonstrate to us that people are afraid to leave this place, friends, I don't know what we're looking at, and I don't know what we're listening to. People are afraid to leave time. Friends, don't be afraid to leave time if you're faithful to God. I'm not saying you ought to hurry it up. I'm saying don't be afraid to leave time. There is an appointed time for every last one of us. And as the people of God, we win. We actually win. So when someone seems like they're getting over on you and you start mustering up all that pride within you, humble yourself and say, I win. Because if you don't, you got to turn around and say, I'm sorry. And sometimes we're not good at that. But if we stay humble, and just as Jesus took that beating and made it possible for us to come to God, we may have to take some beatings. We will have to take some beatings. I leave you with this point. I was talking to Evelyn yesterday, and we was talking about suffering. And the book of Revelation actually demonstrates to us that there's no way out of here without suffering. It was no way for Jesus to help us with our sin problem without suffering. And there's no way for us to get out of here without suffering. But we win. And that's all that matters. We win. We'll lead a word of prayer, and I'm off the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. Our God and our Father in heaven, you're so great. You're awesome. We're thankful for your mind. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for the plan of salvation. We're thankful for the kingdom of God. We're thankful for the church of Christ. We're thankful for the world that we live in, that we have an opportunity to go out and be salt, to be the light. Father, help us take advantage of those opportunities and do all that we can to help people see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that they can win too. Father, we're asking and begging you to be with Knife and Main. Help us to be a blessing to this community. Help us to go out and teach them what they must do in order to be saved. And help us just to be like your Son, to be humble. Father, we love you. We ask that you please forgive us when we fall short. We know we're not perfect, but we're just trying to do what is right. We know that you're faithful and you're just to forgive, and we're thankful to you for that. Father, with all of the negativity around us, sometimes we're lulled into a defeatist attitude. But you spoke before the foundations of the world that we're victorious. And you have given us all of those examples. Some we understand fully, and some we're still struggling with to understand because your mind is so deep. Help us, Father. That which we understand, help us to apply it. And that which we don't understand, be patient with us as we gather understanding. We love you, Father. We ask that you give us the victorious mentality as we go into the new year, giving you glory, honor, and praise through your mighty Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider being victorious with us, because we are. Victory is in Jesus. That's where God put it. Salvation is in Christ. That's where God put it. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross for your sins and ours. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water. In water for the remission of your sins. Yes. Baptism is essential for salvation because that's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is essential for salvation because God said so. And because of that, we want you to obey the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're a child of God and or you've had a defeatist attitude, you don't think that we're going to get out of this. Friends, we already gotten out of it. The fight has already been won. Jesus won it for us. We just got to do our part. And we got to stay faithful. And we got to stay hungry, stay thirsty for righteousness as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.